Hour number two of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside Pablo Giamatti, a.k.a. John Rudolph behind the dials. We're at the new studios here in beautiful Eastside Kirkwood. It's not downtown. Downtown, there is no downtown Kirkwood according to Matt Rocchio.
No, I think Giamatti's correct. There is downtown Kirkwood, but it's over on Kirkwood slash what should actually be called.
So are we in Midtown Kirkwood?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. Point.
Okay,
yeah,
we're beautiful.
You got to make your way over to Lindbergh, which for some reason people in Kirkwood decided to call Kirkwood because they're too good for Charles Lindbergh.
He was a Nazi sympathizer.
And so is Walt Disney.
He is. That's true.
No, it's fairly positive that both of those are like 20% true.
Coca-Cola Brothers potentially too, I think.
What's that?
Coca-Cola Brothers potentially.
Who knows?
Hitler hadn't be a big Heinrich Ford fan.
Someone.
We don't talk about that, though.
Someone we know for a fact is not a Nazi sympathizer. That is Danny Jones.
Jesus.
From the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel_M_Jones. Danny Jones, how are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing fantastic. That was an entertaining game on Saturday, at least from an offensive perspective, and horrifying on a defensive perspective. What was your takeaway from Saturday's contest?
Pretty much what you just said. Great day for Drew Locke and the offense, but really you can't take that much positive away from it because they pretty much had to be great in order to win the game. There's a reason why it's pretty rare for an SEC quarterback to be on the field, against an FCS opponent like that. It's rare for a guy to throw for 500 yards because usually if they're playing a team that's bad enough to allow them to do that, they're not out there for four quarters, running up and down the field trying to score touchdowns. Usually the game's well out of hand in the second half, but, the squad needed Drew Locke to play well, and in the fourth quarter with about 6 minutes to go, they were trotting him out there on the field, telling him, hey, we need you to go score. So that's how you get 500 yards of passing and over 800 yards of offense is when you send a guy like Drew Locke out against an overmatched defense and tell him, hey, we need you to keep going. So, yeah, it was a great day for that offense, but, really it was kind of hard to be too impressed by it because the defense was so worryingly, it was so worryingly competitive from a defensive perspective.
The Tigers' defense allowed 35 points in the first half and only 8 in the second half. Are you attributing that to halftime adjustments made or the fact that they were playing Missouri State and eventually the talent was just going to overtake?
Well, probably the latter. As an FBS school, you get more scholarships than an FCS school. So you could attribute it to fatigue. You could attribute it to a lot of things. Obviously, Missouri's defense should have much better athletes than Missouri State's offense should. Barry Odom said, too, he said this after Saturday's game and then again yesterday on a teleconference, that they basically called one play in the entire second half on defense and went with that one play for the entire time. He was of the opinion that maybe he was trying to get too complex with the calls in the first half, and that was part of the problem. So in the second half, they stuck to one play and ran it pretty much over and over and over again, and maybe simplifying things helped a little bit too. But, you're going up against a team that has fewer scholarships, fewer playmakers, worse athletes. So eventually things should probably balance out in your favor. It took a lot longer than I think a lot of people expected it would for Missouri's defense.
You got to talk to the players and the coaches today. What was the sense you got from them? Was it, man, you know what, that game should never have been that close? Or was it kind of like, hey, it just feels good to get the first win of the season under the belt, regardless of who it was or how it looked? We're just happy to get the W, and we're already on to South Carolina.
It's kind of funny. It depends on who you talk to. Talk to the offensive guys, they sounded more of they sounded more like the latter. We're happy we got the win. There's things we could work on, but overall we're just happy to be 1-0. If you talk to the defensive guys, pretty much to a man, none of them were satisfied with the performance, and they of course fielded a bunch of questions about it and weren't shy about voicing that opinion. Ryan Walters, the secondary coach, spoke to the media today, wasn't pleased with the performance, obviously. Said Sunday's film session was not fun. Said Sunday's practice wasn't all that much fun either. So I think, and DeMarcus Acy, cornerback, pretty much said the same thing. It was unacceptable, and it's just something that has to be better. So I think the feeling around the team is that it was pretty much an unacceptable effort. It is something that absolutely has to be fixed, and that's coming from Barry Odom as well. He said after the game Saturday, by no even remote idea is that where we need to be. And I think his tone hasn't really changed on that, but from the beginning, he's been confident that, it will get fixed. So maybe it's stuff that they're able to do in their play calling, just, you know, in their schemes on the back end there that might be able to help things out. But I think they are pretty confident, at least they've come across as pretty confident, that it's something that can be fixed, and they'll have a heck of a test on Saturday against South Carolina, and particularly against South Carolina wide receiver Debo Samuel, who might be one of the best playmakers in the SEC.
Any inklings about any potential lineup changes? Not necessarily the ones they're going to make this week, but potentially a talk about, you know, if things don't change, you know, we're going to have to update the depth chart a little bit.
You know, there wasn't a lot of talk about that this week. The depth chart came out today, and it was the starting 22 is pretty much unchanged from last week. But that might be something that happens in the future, particularly in the secondary. Jordan Ulmer, the freshman, is still there at free safety, and Anthony Sherrills is still there at strong safety. DeMarcus Acy still starting at cornerback too, and Logan Cheadle was starting a cornerback. He actually was somebody that was graded out pretty well, despite all the flaws of the defense in week one. He was somebody that actually did come out pretty well. In fact, Pro Football Focus had him as he was on the SEC Defensive Team of the Week at cornerback. So I don't think that's something really anybody saw coming out, especially people that watched the game. But he had a pretty good showing, I guess, at least if you go back and kind of watch the tape. Rashad Brandon was outstanding. In fact, he was probably the player of the day on defense for Mizzou. And there might be a possibility for him to work his way into the starting lineup if he keeps having those kind of performances. He was just really a wrecking ball on numerous occasions there in week one. So a defensive tackle, he might be a name to kind of watch out for as well. Other than that, there haven't been many rumblings of guys that might shake things up. Although I would keep an eye, too, on Ronnell Perkins. He's coming off of a hamstring strain. That kept him out in week one. He was one of the more reliable tacklers in the secondary last year. And so there might be an opportunity for him to get some more playing time, depending on how he plays in week two, he's able to play.
The first place you went there after I asked the question was exactly what I had on my mind, which was the free safety position. Obviously, the freshman Jordan Ulmer beating out Hilton across the summer. Does it say a lot about the struggles that Cam Hilton's been having that's the guy who beat him out then looked that lost in game one?
Well, I think the fact that there's a freshman playing in that spot, when there's four guys returning from last year, says a lot too. I think, you know, safety was a position that was never really figured out last year, never really figured out in the spring, and never really figured out in the fall, at least from a personnel standpoint and who's going to be the answer there. And by week one, the player that the coaches were most comfortable putting back there was a freshman. So I think that says a lot about how they feel about the personnel, that they feel like he's the most reliable option back there. And I think, you know, Jordan Ulmer might eventually be a guy that ends up being a pretty reliable player in this defense. But yeah, I think that says a lot that he's one of the guys that you trust back there in week one, especially when you have four guys coming back as in the safety spot. So yeah, I would say that probably does speak a lot to, you know, the fact that he's there again. And Cam Hilton actually is going to be he's not going to be able to play in the first half this week because of the targeting penalty. But definitely it's a position that Missouri hasn't quite figured out yet and needs to figure out pretty quickly.
Danny Jones from the Columbia Daily Tribune joining us right now on the Belvin Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel_M_Jones. Jamon Moore looked absolutely fantastic on Saturday. Four catches, 187 yards, and two touchdowns. Him and Drew Locke, they could really be something special this year if Jamon Moore can just hold on to the ball as he did on Saturday.
Yeah, certainly. And that was kind of all the talk last year. And even still, he was pretty special last year, going over 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, there were plays, I think, that people look back on and think, well, if only he would have held on to the ball. But I guess my point is he still was pretty darn good last year. And in week one, he had 186 yards, I believe, 187 yards. And a lot of those yards were on basically passes out to the perimeter and letting the other wide receivers, Jonathan Johnson, Demetrius Mason, those guys set up blocks. And it was really just Jamon Moore's athleticism and Jonathan Johnson's athleticism and Demetrius Mason's athleticism that allowed those yards to come so easy. So I think this will be a different challenge. I don't think those wide receiver screens, you know, out to the perimeter will be anywhere near as effective this week against an SEC defense as they were last week. So we'll get to see maybe Jamon Moore in a little bit more of a vertical role, more of a maybe possession receiver role. And one thing I would like to see, I'd like to gauge, is how well those wide receivers block against a bigger and more athletic defense. That was really a surprise on the offensive side of the ball. Demaryius Crockett said it's maybe the biggest improvement of, you know, any position group on offense is the wide receivers and their ability to block. It was really apparent on Saturday that was something that they took pride in. I wrote about that in the paper today, actually. That was one thing Barry Odom said. It was his favorite thing to point out in the film study on Sunday was how well the receivers blocked. And so if they can continue to get that sort of production out of them, that'll just make things a lot easier, not only on those wide receiver passes to the flat, but also running the ball. That'll open up lanes for Demaryius Crockett and maybe allow some 5-yard runs to become 15, 20, or 25-yard runs.
The Tigers welcome the University of South Carolina Gamecocks to Faurot Field on Saturday. South Carolina coming off a 35-28 win over the NC State Wolfpack. You already mentioned Deebo Samuel as the potential worrisome spot for the Tigers defense. Where do you think the Gamecocks are the most vulnerable on their defense when they're taking on this Missouri offense?
Well, in talking with Coach Heupel yesterday on the coach's conference call, it sounded like he was pretty impressed with the cornerbacks and the linebackers, and he said those two positions were really spots that gave Missouri trouble last year. The cornerbacks challenged a lot of balls and made it really difficult for the wide receivers last year. He came up with two interceptions last year as well on Drew Locke, and maybe this is a different Drew Locke this year, but I think that'll be a really interesting matchup for Missouri, and it'll be a key matchup because that's really where Missouri has its strength is in its wide receivers and in Drew Locke finding ways to get them the ball. The linebackers too were pointed out by Josh Heupel as guys that he saw on tape that did a really good job. Now, South Carolina did get that win last week, but they were outgained pretty significantly, if I'm correct, by North Carolina State in the game. They had the benefit of a special teams touchdown too, which really made the difference by the end. So I think there's spots in that defense where you might be able to, you know, find some places where Demaryius Crockett can fit in and make some plays happen. And I think there might be some opportunities for the receivers, particularly the slot receivers and Jonathan Johnson and Rashad Floyd, maybe get them the ball in space and see if they can make plays. Like I said earlier, I don't think those perimeter screens are going to be as effective this week as they were last week. I don't think at any point this season will they be as effective as they were in week one. But that matchup between the wide receivers and the cornerbacks, I think, is really going to be key. And that might also be an opportunity for Missouri's tight ends, who were pretty impactful in week one, to get some opportunities. Jason Reese and Kendall Blanton, and I'll just call him Albert O. That's how he's been known throughout the team. All three guys are tight ends that made an impact in week one and very well could make impacts throughout the season.
Danny, you do a fantastic job of covering the Tigers for the Columbia Daily Tribune, and we look forward to having you on next week talking about hopefully another Tiger victory over South Carolina.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot for the time. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Danny. That is Danny Jones from the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel_M_Jones. He does such a great job of covering the Tigers. A great guy, great young writer. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by former pro wrestler D'Artagnan Allen. He is the one who designed the T-shirt they're giving away September 12th. At Busch Stadium for the old school wrestling night at Busch Stadium. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.